You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men, not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age, but all age is relative. You don't have to be old, you don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Stopping at the byway, looking for the old man of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men's stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
Jeff Young.
Old Men's Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 133rd show, we recall the times we let go. We meander or keep a straight line in our lives, but we will find crossroads on occasion. What do we do at these times when we have to let go of something old? What journeys have you taken which create these times, and how did you handle them? Create a nice, neat old man's story. Roland Willits.
Jeff Young.
Old men's stories.
Let's go. I'm letting go. To kind of explain the notion, I mean, what it says in the package is letting go of things. But there is more than just deciding I'm not going to do this anymore. There's always some level of emotional attachment to the things that we have become accustomed to having, whether it's a pleasant thing or unpleasant thing. There's an emotional reaction that everyone has to change. People tend not to like change. Embracing change means jumping into the unknown and going off to some territory that is unfamiliar to you. From a psychological and emotional standpoint, some people would prefer to stay with the status quo than to let go of something that either they really like to have, or they really don't like having, but they know what it is, and get something else in their life that changes them. I think the first thing I would like to talk about letting go of is the idea of moving away from home. Some 20 years after moving out of my parents' place, I wonder, did I make the right decision? For all the time that I had never gone back, I look at it and say, you know, I let go of being at home. I chose myself over trying to make it work at home and being stuck finding a job in a place where you needed more experience than I had. And I took an opportunity for myself and I let go of everything that I knew. I pretty much left 97% of all of my things behind. I'd never lived out in California for more than a visit to somebody who lived there. It meant letting go of snow. It meant letting go of really, really, really hugely hot, oppressive autumns and summers and rain. And that's key number one. It's everything that went with it, everything that was attached to it. Everything that you change means you're giving up the thing that used to be in its place. And the older that we get, the older that we become experienced, we know things. We think we know it all. And then everything we know suddenly gets taken away from us, whether you like it or not. And letting go of that wanting things to go back the way that they were, that is a tough nut to crack. Roland, I imagine you've moved any number of times in your life.
Yes. I really haven't had trouble letting go of things. I remember when I was in college, I decided I was going to go independent. And I think I told this story before, and I went independent, and I ended up going back home. I was just, you know, I was in college still, and I thought I could make it. And I ended up, because I couldn't afford it. But I always had, you know, you always have that finger hold of your family. You know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Jeff?
Yeah.
One where you call home and say hi to mom. You know, mm-hmm. I am 73 years old, and every week I still get that finger tie to my mom, and I'm lucky enough to be able to continue doing it. It's like we do let go of things, then we leave, but I found that they don't really disappear. You think they're disappearing, but they're solidly there in your memories. And letting go is something that is more of a psychological thing a lot of times, and frightening, because to go from an environment like they have in New York or Minneapolis and go somewhere is frightening. See, when I went, it was totally controlled. I mean, I was drafted, and then I joined, and then I went from a draft person to a joiner and was in the Navy. And went down to flight training, and then it was like everything was planned ahead for me. I was so busy, I never got much of a chance to really let go of home. I was just away from home, and all of a sudden, a whole new life form for me. So the world, the universe gave me a wonderful, just absolutely spectacular transition of going into a controlled environment where almost every step you take and every breath you take is totally controlled. And doing that and being in the military, it was a wonderful experience for me. Now, before I went, I had an opportunity of going in and going through the enlisted training because I had to be there for a little while. And I got in there, then I got in the officer's training, and my golly gee, it was totally different. But I got that there sometimes isn't a chance to let go. Now, I've had let go of things in my life, and I'll tell you that story after your story, Jeff.
Well, I've got a couple of different stories here. This one is dedicated to some friends of mine who I haven't seen for a while. Back in the mid-90s, when the dot-com boom was happening, there were people who had high-paying jobs. High-tech jobs were pretty much, oh, look, you looked at a college degree. You can have a job working IT or working programming. We'll teach you. And startups were everywhere. And you didn't have to have a lot of skill to find a job. And I'm kind of glad I got the job that I did. I lived with three other people, or two other people at the time, who had tech jobs. And the three of us together probably cleared over $100,000 a year combined. And we had friends who were also in the high-tech agencies, and all of them had high-paying jobs. One of them went on actually to become a millionaire when their company got bought out by Time Warner. You might have heard of a little company called AOL, and he moved out to Florida because that's where he always wanted to go. That was his dream. Another one basically cashed in a whole bunch of stock options, made $3 million, and decided he didn't want to quit, or he didn't want to work anymore, and he quit at age 25 and retired. So there's the mindset of the people that I hung out with, and it was nothing at all to kind of go, okay, hey, dinner, let's go to sushi, where it was $20-$25 a person. Or let's do movies and then go out for dinner, and let's go for the weekend somewhere. Essentially, having a lot of disposable income and being young and all that stuff, man, you go through a lot of money without even realizing it because everyone else you're with is spending it too. The price of admission, as we used to call it, is a yuppie food coupon, which is $20. Because maybe your meal costs $16, and there's drinks and tip. So you could just toss $20 into the community pot, and usually you had everything paid for at the end of the meal. Then you got into, uh-oh, somebody decided to order appetizers. Well, time passed, things changed, the economy went poof, and I had one housemate move out, and the other one decided that, oh, well, jobs are so plentiful to find that they quit. A year passed, and the dot-com bubble went poof, and suddenly there weren't any jobs. The friends of ours were like, well, come anyway. Go, like, don't worry, we'll cover for you this time. And I was like, well, we'd like you to come if you can. You don't have to stay for dinner. And then I was like, oh, well, okay, we know you can't afford it, so maybe we'll get together on the weekend sometime. And we went from doing things with friends pretty much every single weekend, sometimes twice a week, to kind of just dropping off the face of the map. And over time, that happened to more people. Somebody else lost their job. The person who had $3 million, the stock market crashed on them, and suddenly they had to find work again. After 5 years of being retired, they had to go back out into the job market. And they had bought a huge house. And because they thought they were going to have enough money forever, they only paid the down payment in the minimum. And suddenly, they had to sell their place. The only people who were in any reasonably good situations financially, who recognized the writing on the wall when they saw it, and the one couple who said, you know, we really can't afford to do this because only the husband is working, and we just have a kid, and we just bought a house. So they dropped out early. It's kind of a change where you miss being able to go for a really good sushi. You miss being able to go out to the movies. And you miss being able to go buy a computer every other month or so. Well, not everyone bought a computer, but someone would get a new computer, and then somebody else had to get a new computer. And I think between the bunch of us, we owned, like, every single console gaming system on the market and a whole bunch of games. And slowly but surely, every single one of us dropped out of that. Got financially responsible and recognized there's a time and a place for toys and excessive spending, but if no one else is doing it, it's no fun. The thing is that I spend most of my time doing things on a budget. I spend most of my time doing things that are inexpensive to do, and even the little things cost money. So you think about the choices that you make a lot more, and you kind of weigh going to the movies versus maybe getting something more interesting for dinner. Or you worry about whether or not the rent will go up next month. And that kind of financial responsibility comes at the price sometimes of being horribly in debt and having to dig yourself back out. I think that there are things that we need in life, a decent car, a decent paying job, and a decent place to live. Those things cost money. Food costs money. Eating healthily costs money. And that in itself was a lifestyle change that I had to let go of. Eating whatever I wanted to, choosing to eat healthier. But just letting go of that, I have all the money in the world lifestyle, is a profound change. And even though I have more money now than I did then, the reverse is true. Letting go of the keeping an eye on my budgets is going to be really, really hard to do someday when I have a lot of money again, whenever that is. But for the moment, I'm still saving up to buy a house. I haven't let go of that particular dream yet. It goes with the lifestyle choice of saving every dollar I have, not going out to expensive meals whenever I want to. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't need the new shiny thing anymore. I don't need to go out to dinner every week sometime. I don't need half these things. And letting go of that lifestyle was really hard at first, but I really pause about thinking about getting back into it because I know what else I can do with that same amount of money and be happier with it. Roland.
I was brought up in a fairly conservative family, and I actually ran a business all the way, and, you know, still there, through the dot-com era and into reality. There was really good money in it at one time, and it was coming in really good. I just chose to spend all my extra money paying mortgages. So I found that all the extra money I had sort of paid mortgages. It, after a while, paid for itself because all the property went at a big dip and it came right back up. I've had to let go of a lot of things along the way. You know, most of the things that happen that you have to let go is traumatic things. That's where the toughie comes in, like losing a job or losing a relationship.
Yep.
Or something like that. That those are toughies. I've had to go through all of them. It's like, I have been, you know, fired from jobs about 5 or 6 times. And you know what's funny is most of the times that I was fired because I worked too hard. Now, that is unusual, isn't it? To be laid off because you worked too hard and you were too successful. But I'll tell you about one of the examples of it. And when I was in Phoenix, I had about, you know, about 5 or 6 or 7 different jobs. And sometimes I was running 2 or 3 at the same time, but normally they were temporary. But one job I got, and I went to work for Mayflower Moving. Mayflower Moving was a nice old firm there. They had big warehouses and lived for years and years. And they interviewed me and they interviewed a bunch of them and they hired me because I had all great credentials. And so I went out and I started working and I would come in and I would get these counts and I started getting counts. That I became aware of with the other person there is he was the boss's son. And the young girl that was at the front desk there, and I was single at the time, and she kept giving me the eye. And then I would come in and I'd get these accounts, and I had about 3 to his 1, and all kinds of things wrong with me. And I said, I didn't even hardly know him. But all of a sudden I got a call. The fellow brought me in. He said, very important we have peace in the office. And seeing that the fellow you work with is the owner's son, you're going to have to leave. So I got, oh, okay. Now, if I'd sort of just hid in the corner and just barely been there, probably kept, but working hard sometimes does not have its own rewards. But maybe the reward was not working at a place is its own reward. Now you gotta get the attitude of where because they're the boss's son can flaunt their authority and you have to sit and be subservient to that. Can you handle that? Is that a QOL? Okay, now let me explain. QOL. That I don't know when I got it in life, but I look at it very, very closely all the time. And it's Q for of and L for life. Quality of life. And quality of life is phenomenally important to me. Because the only thing we have is our health, and the next major thing is our time. Time is where we're wealthy. In time is where all the other activities happen. But health is needed first to participate in any of those things. But I look at having a whole bunch of things and being miserable, you know, is not to choose. I had a playoff between quality of life and the necessities I have to do to participate in it. And sometimes up in doing that, sometimes you have to give up major money things to do that. I remember when I was working, this is a quality, you know, of life thing, and it's letting things go. And I had this huge account. I mean, super huge. And it gave me a hard time. Not because I hadn't done everything correctly. It's they decided to change their opinion on the commitments. In other words, they sat and did. They said they did one thing with her, and I had accepted a verbal go-ahead. And I was so upset, and I was so frustrated. And you can't get into details in this stuff. You'd like to learn. Can't. I walked away and let it go, and it hurt.
All right. We will see people after the break. World and Stories. Don't go away.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you,
Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Man Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Man Stories, the episode on letting go, talking about things that are hard to let go of and that are not so hard to let go of. There is things that you don't always get to choose when someone's path uncrosses from yours, but letting them go is a tough thing to do when you have a choice, when both of you don't want to let go of the other person, when one person doesn't want to let go, but the other person does. That's when you kind of get into differences of opinion and whether someone really likes someone anymore. And that's a good segue to what I wanted to talk about next, is that I think most of us have cared about someone in our lives in some form or another. A full-blown relationship, maybe it wasn't. But when it comes to having feelings for someone, you get to be attached to who they are when they're with you. And the things that they're doing with their life, you try to put your little close to theirs as often as possible. And then something happens where you don't see eye to eye anymore, or they have to relocate to another place, another state. Their job or their school takes them away. Or in some cases, sometimes they fall in love with someone else. And then you kind of have to go through the whole idea of how do you let go of somebody like that, that you used to think about 100% of the time, or even 110% of the time. Someone you want to stay in your path forever. What do you do? How do you let them go? And the answer, I think, is that both parties need to acknowledge that there is no path that stays as close as you used to be, that you're going in separate directions, that you are just trying to hang on to someone who is going somewhere else. It's easy when you lose someone through being forcibly removed from your life. It's hard when you have the chance to stick around. I can say that in my personal experience, I have been in love with people who didn't return it. I have been loved by people who were, I didn't feel in the same way. And the thing that really helped me get over it in a lot of ways is that seeing them with someone else hurt like heck in the beginning. But watching them actually build a life with someone else that wasn't me, that took some getting used to. And it was a lot easier when I saw the person was happy and I got what they wanted out of the new relationship that I couldn't give them. When it came down to watching someone else who I cared about a good deal, being involved with someone who was not good for them, I couldn't provide something better for them because they didn't want my help. They did not want me in their life in that capacity. How can you be interested in someone who doesn't treat you right? And she said, it doesn't matter. This is the person I love, and I need you to respect that. And it was that moment that she told me that. I said, okay, I believe you. I hope you know what you're doing, but I will back off. That's the key, is that when you can see and believe that someone else is better off with the choices that they made, whether you agree with them or not, that is a big part of letting go. One of the hardest people to let go of, one of the hardest places to let go of, I think I may have mentioned this in the past, but my grandfather on my dad's, on my mom's side, passed away recently, instead of my grandmother, last year. And the knowledge that they were gone, and having seen that the apartment they lived in for several decades being emptied out, being packed, there are things that I have been so familiar with, and everyone wanted some memory of their grandparents or their parents, in the case of my aunts and uncle. It was heartbreaking to know that all of those sights, sounds, and smells, and the feel of that place where I spent a whole lot of my time with my grandparents was going to be gone forever. Someone else would be living there. That really hurt, and that was hard to let go of. It hurt a lot more than driving by the place that I grew up in saying, oh, look, it's a sushi shop now. Or driving by the original elementary school that I went to that was just down the block, and that looked completely different. It's a brand new building there, and they built over a part of the old bits and neighborhoods that I grew up in was, when things had changed out from under you, it's easier to let go of what's no longer there. Things are around. Then it's really, really hard to let go. There's two types of letting go, really. The type where you choose to let go, or the type where someone else or something else is pulled away and you have to let go because there's no way to hang on to it.
Oh, I have a letting go thing. I have watched several kids grow up. Each time they go into the new phase, you let go of the old one because they aren't that anymore. Right now, we're going through our granddaughter. Our granddaughter is just turning 15. Grandma and grandpa just were something gave nodding attention to. So grandma and I got it. And you notice that's when we started traveling a lot more. But Isabel, our granddaughter in California, is the one that we all grew up together. We all spent 12 years together. And Terry was telling me, when we saw the neighbor walking over, and he had his grandson on his shoulders, and he was showing her a whole bunch of stuff. And she says, remember, you used to carry Isabel everywhere on your shoulders. She was on your shoulders forever. I said, yes, she was on my shoulders till I couldn't handle it anymore. I think she was 30. It's just only 15. And I had to, giving up, it was special for me. I really liked carrying her on my shoulders because we'd go exploring and we'd look, and she had a high view, and she'd look over there, grandpa, look over there. Look at that. Look, let's go over there. And I would sort of be her horse, you know, to ride her around and see stuff. And when I gave up her riding on my shoulders, I knew it was a time that had ended, and there would be something new coming up and something different. I gave that up. I had to give that up. I had to let that go. So continuously in my life, I've let things go. It's like physical things. When you get to a certain age, I get that I'm not going to go in the boxing rink and box anymore. I had to let that go. But there are other physical things that you let go of. One of the things that I'm really glad I don't have to go right now is swimming. I love swimming. You can swim till you croak because you know, all the weight is off you, and all you got to do is just pedal or paddle. And I really love doing that. But there are things that I'm sort of giving up now. I used to go out and shoot, and I enjoyed shooting trap. And I would just go out, you know, you shoot 25 shells, and then you can shoot four of those to come up with 100 score, and that's what they'd use. Well, I let go of doing it 100 times. I'll go out and shoot 25 and see how I do, or maybe 50 if I really feel good. But that's where it ends. I let that go. And somewhere down the road, I'll let shooting go. And all of a sudden, it won't be fun anymore. Now, these are easy let goes because your body tells you it hurts more. But your ego says, well, you should always have your hunting skills there, but you let your bow go. Then I'll think of a few more, Jeff. It's your turn.
All right. The thing that I need to let go of more of is being a workaholic. I am too attached to my job, and sometimes it's a question of, well, someone says, you work too hard. You're working so many hours. Why don't you just quit? I said, well, that's easy for you to say, but I like the job that I have. And sometimes it asks for more hours than a standard 4-year work week. It's a labor of love. It's something that I was asked this morning, how long do you plan to work for? And I said, probably another 20 years or so, question mark. I am planning for retirement, but I also don't know how to let go of the job that I have. If someone takes it away from me, that makes it easy. Sometimes easy to let go of things that you are forced to let go of, like people or places or things. But the hardest things to let go of are the things that you really honestly enjoy doing. Like you said, like you enjoy trap shooting and until today it's not for fun. And then it just becomes, well, because you've always done it. Or it's a habit, or it's what you're good at. But what someone taught me recently is that there are only so many hours left in the day. There are only so many years in your life. There are only so many moments that you can do stuff with. We don't have time travel ability yet. Maybe someday. We have very few ways to extend your lifespan other than eating healthy, living healthy. And even then, you could get hit by a car tomorrow. But letting go of dreams, of great ideas, that is tough. Letting go of things you're having fun with and don't want to stop, that's tough. Letting things you feel responsible for, even though you really shouldn't be responsible for them, because other people can have responsibilities too, that's also tough. At least for me anyway. You have a job to do, when you have a duty to do, when you have all the things you want to do, the thing that makes you stop doing them is someone else telling you, no, you cannot do them anymore. Why isn't that person you? Because it's too easy to say, oh, yeah, I can do that. It sounds awesome. Or there's no one else who could do this. Or I want this. I know it's a lot of work, but the rewards, the satisfaction, the feeling of a job well done, this is exactly as much fun as I want it to be. The fear of failure, the fear of loss, all those things, those are hard to let go of. Someone said to me, I have so many ideas and not enough time to do them all. Sometimes I'll start on one of them and I'll commit to a whole bunch, and I got told by my manager, you are not allowed to volunteer for this. You have too many things, and unless you want something to go, you can't volunteer. And I said, but I want to help. She said, tough. And I had to let go of wanting to fix everything, wanting to do everything. She had this advice. Here's one thing for you. I'm 10 years older than you. I'm slowing down a little bit, and I envy your youth and your skill. And I got to tell you, at some point or another, you're going to have to slow down. I wish I had 10 of you. Then this place is worth like magic. But I don't. There's only you. And I keep getting told by my manager that I've worked you too hard, and it's not my fault. You pick the things you work on. You choose to take these things on, and I need you to let go of something. I need you to let go of these extra opportunities, these extra things you're committing to do, these extra special projects. It is your choice, always your choice to let go. How many things in our lives has someone said, you can't have this anymore, and you chased after it anyway? That's not letting go. Maybe physically you've let go. Maybe emotionally you've let go. But if you try to replace something, you've let go of something else. You didn't let go of something. You just replaced it. Letting go is always about letting go of something, and don't replace it with something else. It's about recognizing that you're doing less. See somebody less, and otherwise, don't have something that you had before. That is the secret of letting go. Make sense?
Yes, it does, Jeff. I was thinking I would add some philosophy in there, and I said, well, he's pretty much covered all the different processes. One of the things you have to get is after things pass, it's just a dream memory, and it's totally corrupted by, I don't mean corrupted bad, but it's corrupted from what actually happened because of the memories you choose to look at. And also from your point of view, there's a whole bunch of point of views in everything that happened, and all you are is just looking at a dream. So why be there in that old dream when it's so much more fun to create new ones? Look at things in a different way. I'm a perpetual student. And when I'm fascinated with something, I just keep studying. To be in these spots takes a long time of personal study and figuring out what in life and who in life you really are. Yeah?
Indeed. And I'm going to read what Sharon just put up on the screen. Yesterday is gone. The future is uncertain. The only thing we really have is today. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. We're going to let people go at this point, but one shout out to PGA Geronimo, whose idea this was for today's topic. But thank you for joining us, and we're going to let you go now. See you next week with more Old Men Stories.
Letting go is more than just two little words. It's an attitude adjustment that will change your world. Whether for the good or the bad is sometimes less important than the changes that come with it. You can't stay the same forever. No one is made of stone. And sometimes letting go is how you fly. It's never easy to give something different a try. What big things have you let go of that seem so little now? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.